Welcome to the CEN show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm the host, Roski Mascani, and on the panel this evening, we have Brother Ahi, Sister Linda Shorter, Professor Amin-Ra, and Mr. Brown. I can't recall his first name, but it's
Charles, Charles.
Charles Brown. And Charles Brown is here this evening with us also. So our guest for this evening is Deborah Suzette Brown, and the topic for this evening is grandparents parenting in the 21st century. Sister Linda Shorter introduced me to Miss Brown, and from what I know, she has a very excellent organization that she's in charge of, her and her husband, and they're going to tell us about it this evening. And then also she has a presentation for us, and then we will get into questions and comments. Good evening, Ms. Deborah Suzette Brown. Welcome to the CEN show, and please tell us about yourself and your organization.
All right. Good evening, everyone, and it's a pleasure to be here from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, hot
From
weather.
Atlanta, Georgia. What I want to do is I have a lot of this on the PowerPoint, so if maybe if I can pull the PowerPoint up, then I can kind of go through it and introduce it. But I am the CEO of Each One Teach One Together, and the same thing I'm going to tell you verbally, it's in the PowerPoint, so I didn't want to repeat myself twice. So can I go ahead and pull up the PowerPoint?
You may.
Okay, so let's see here. Here we go. All right. Thank you so much for having me this evening. It's a pleasure to be here, to be able to share my passion, and I feel like it's my purpose. I am Deborah Suzette Brown, and I am the CEO. I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. Also, I am a NAMI trainer, as well as I'm a grand voice for the national organization for kinship. There is a national organization for kinship, and I'm one of the grand voices for Georgia. And I encourage Linda to apply, and she's now a grand voice in Florida. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure that we are there to be able, and it's an advocacy organization. Okay, so let's see.
Miss Brown, can
Yes,
you
sir.
tell us what NAMI means?
NAMI is the National Alliance for Mental Illness. It's a national organization for mental health. And here in Georgia, my granddaughter, which I will talk more about during COVID, suffered from mental health because of the trauma, the being out of school, and then there were some other emotional events that happened with her. But she suffered from depression, anxiety. She also had pica. Pica is a disorder where individuals eat things like flour, starch, and she was eating the inside of sheetrock. Also, she was self-harming. And I had already been trained at NAMI, and I've always been a part. I had just finished reading the book about adolescent depression. So that was very educational for me that I recognized that it was something else other than what some people were saying, that she was just being lazy. And that's the misconception that we have in our African American community, is the not really being aware of mental health. We feel like that, some of the ministers will be able to heal us. We feel like it's sometime, and it is sometimes, it is generational, and all of that, but sometime it could be because of the trauma that a person has had in their life or in that particular episode. So that makes a difference. But that's NAMI. Let me see how I can get to the next one here. Oh, okay. So let's see. Okay. There we go. So let me just tell you all a little about Each One Teach One. It was founded by me, Deborah Suzette Brown, who, along with my husband, Charles, we have an extensive personal experience in foster care and kinship caregiving. Our journey includes adopting 10 children, raising our granddaughter, fueling our passion to support our other kinship families. The organization mission is to empower parents and caregivers, helping families become strong and resilient. We emphasize that every child deserves a strong, supportive family, and we work diligently to provide the necessary resources and support to achieve this goal. For more insights into our initiative and community involvement, Each One Teach One maintains an active presence on social media. We are on Facebook and we also on Instagram. Connecting with Each One Teach One can provide valuable support and resources for grandparents raising grand caregivers in the Atlanta metro area. And every once in a while, I may venture out and go to a little further into down south, but most of the time is in this area. To start out, and this is really what you see this on this picture is real. We have grandparents that are like third and fourth generations raising children just that small. Grandparents raising their grandchildren is becoming more common in the 21st century due to various social, economic, and health-related factors. This trend presents unique challenges and rewards for each generation. And we'll get into some of the reasons or the causes for that increase later on. And I brought this up for you all because you all have a California, in California, you have a grand voice too. You have these two people that are supposed to be reaching out to the community, to the grand families, or to the organizations to be able to do and provide advocacy. And but if you all know of any African American grandparents or anyone that's interested in being advocates for kinship, I say grandparents raising grandchildren, and then kinship to me, aunt, uncle, cousin, niece, nephew, and in some cases it could be siblings. But they can email rwin at gu, which is generationsunited.org. And this particular national organization is the advocacy group. We do a lot. I'm getting ready to do a video. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but they're getting ready to get me to do a video to talk about kinship from a child being into the system and what's the difference than that and not being in the system. And then I'll explain that to you all also. They call it traditional and non-traditional. Traditional means that there is a stipend that comes with the non-traditional means that the families don't get anything. So with this particular program, it's supported by the Casey Family Foundation. And I just hope you all spread the word in your community because we need some grand voices and we need some that are like us. Why more grandparents are raising grandkids? Well, it could be many things. Parental issues like substance abuse, incarceration, mental health struggles, and financial instability often leave grandparents as primary caregivers. It also can be economic hardships. Some parents are unable to support their children due to job loss, homelessness, or financial instability. It could also be health crisis. The COVID-19 pandemic and other health-related issues have led to an increase in grandparent-led households. Some can be deployment, military deployment, where someone had to go overseas and they decided they was going to let their kinship families or their mothers, parents take care of the kids while they were gone. So, and also family conflicts or death of a parent, divorce, domestic violence, or the loss of a parent can result in grandparents taking custody. We have a combination of all of this here in Atlanta, and I'm sure we have a combination of all of this in the United States. I just talked with a grandparent the other day. She adopted one of her grandkids. The other three she has that did not go into the system, and their mother passed away. The mother of these four kids passed away last year, 23 years of age. So now the grandmother is stuck with four kids, and to raise. And she was telling me that she was 54. I told her, I said, good for you, because I'm 74 and my husband is 72. So you're younger than we are. The other is the challenges that face grandparents raising grandkids is legal and custody issues. Most of the time, our families will jump to get the kids and not let the kids go into the child welfare system because they feel like that they are going, that the child welfare system is the enemy. They're not the enemy all the time. If they're in the system, they'll be just like, and I'll read that policy that President Joe Biden passed, federal law, that if they're in the system, then they can get benefits like their foster parents. But a lot of the families, what they do is they will decide, I don't want the child welfare system to even be involved. I'm gonna get the kids. But once they get the kids, everything's based on their income. It's on their income. And then when they get ready to get legal custody, like they go to the probate court to get guardianship, that's just a piece of paper that says that you take care of the children for 1 year. And if the parent comes back within that year and say, I want my children back, then guess what? They can get their children. The legal part is like what my husband and I did. Our granddaughter was in state custody, so we had to go to juvenile court, and we have legal guardianship where the judge signed off on it, said we're responsible for her until she turns 18. And if her parents decide that they want to come and get her, they have to go back through the court and complete their case plan. So that's the difference. The other is financial strain. Many grandparents live on fixed incomes, struggle with aided costs of aiding the children. We have grandparents that are still working. We have grandparents as young as 23 and taking care of kids. We have grandparents as old as 85. And she's a third generation grandparent. She raised her children, but she's taking care of her children's children, and now she's taking care of her children's children's children. So she's 83 years old. She doesn't look it though, but she is 83 years old, and she's taking care of kids. And there is no her finances is Social Security, and especially if you don't let the kids go into custody of the child welfare system. So your Social Security is going toward taking care of the kids. And a lot of us still work. I work part-time too at 74 because Social Security just don't cut it, right? Pay the bills. And you have to have some type of financial. And it causes a strain. Yes, it does. Because if you got younger kids, what about childcare? You don't qualify for the state subsidy for childcare because they're going by our income, which is already put on a scale, even though we don't see that. We was like, really? This is not enough money, but on their scale, we make too much money. The other thing is health and energy, the challenges they face. Aging can make it harder to keep up with demands of parenting, technology, education gaps. I always tell my grandparents, you don't know how to use that computer, go ask your grandkids. And sure enough, when they go ask the grandkids get them on the virtual because they know all about technology and everything. And all the and it, see, it's an age gap. It's an age gap in there, and also emotional toll. Both grandparents and grandchildren may struggle with feelings of loss, trauma, and stress. A lot of the grandparents are angry with their children for doing this to them. A lot of them don't want to report their children is not taking care of their kids because they say that I don't want them to lose benefits. But the children don't care, and if they're taking care of the kids and don't have the funds. So the ways to support grandparent caregivers is legal resources. And in Atlanta, we have legal aid. And legal aid has a contract with our Kinship Navigator program. Here we have a Kinship Navigator program. I don't know what they have in California, but the Navigator program is a group of navigators that cover the entire state of Georgia. And when grandparents need resources, they help to obtain those resources in the community. That's where they have to get it from, its community, because the kids weren't in DFACS or child welfare custody. Financial assistance usually is Social Security that the grandparents receive, TANF, temporary assistance for needy families, And a lot of them don't qualify for that because, again, it's based on that very low income scale that they don't have. And also local grants, like my organization. I partner with the Navigator program. And when I partner with the Navigator program, they'll call me and I'll show you all in a minute some of the services that we do offer. Support groups is connecting. That's another way we support, is connecting with other grand caregivers that can provide emotional support to let them know you're not alone. We're all in this together. Educational resources, schools and libraries offer tutoring and technology and assistance, and also health and wellness, prioritizing self-care and seeking medical support. We do have some private agencies here in Atlanta that specifically, when they are with that particular program, the Georgia State Kinship Program, they have a nurse that goes into the home to make sure that they address the particular caretaker, which is really good because a lot of these grandparents have high blood pressure. I talked with one of my grandparents the other day. She had two heart attacks. She can't walk. She's overweight. And she's still trying to take care of these kids. So a lot of them are already fragile, from just their own lifestyle. So again, local resources here for grand givers is the Kinship Navigator program. And like I said, I don't know if you all have one, but it can be researched and found out. You also have, we have Georgia State Help the Grandparents. That's the one that they send a nurse into the home and be able to address the caretaker and also see what they need for the kids. We have Project Grand ISDD. They provide resources for children with disabilities, children that may be on the spectrum of autism or may be ADHD or even may be physically disabled or mentally incapacitated or some way or another. And also myself, Each One Teach One. We are based in Atlanta, a nonprofit dedicated to strengthening families by providing support, education, mentoring, and resources, particularly focusing on grandparents and kinship parents. So the key services and programs is grandparent kinship advocacy. We at Each One Teach One, we offer support services tailored by grandparents and kinship caregivers addressing the unique challenges they face. I'm a part of the Grand Voice of Georgia, which is that national organization. So say for instance, like I'm getting ready to get a appointment with OSOF, try and to let him know the need here in Georgia and some of the things. From what my understanding is, each state has a surplus of TANF money. Okay. I have to find out how much you all have in California. In Georgia, we have $210 million. So I want to ask my Republican governor, what are you going to do with that money? Why can't we give some of that money and allow our kinship families to be able to support their children that they're taking care of, that they're not getting a subsidy for? Community service, the organization engages into various community initiatives, including educational workshops, support groups, and to empower and to educate. And one of the things that we try to do is to get them involved. Now, these are some of the services that we specifically at Each One Teach One provide. I have a furniture bank where I'm a certified case manager. And if any of the families need furniture, I assist them to be able to get the furniture. They can pick out any furniture like mattresses. They don't do the box springs, but they do the mattresses and they don't do the frame. But they do the mattresses, they'll pick out living room furniture, dining room furniture, and different things like that. It's just to get started. And they only charge for delivery. Like, depending on the area, it could be $100 or be $150. Usually, if they can't afford to pay that, what I would do is I will actually get a donor to be able to pay it for them. Monthly support group meetings, we just got off one, Linda and I. We have that every month. Peer-to-peer support. Peer-to-peer support means anyone that has experience. Linda and I both have experience being grandparents. So what we want to do is be peer-to-peer with anyone that's new to coming in. We had a new young lady came in today. She has two small, this evening she had two small grandkids that she's now taking care of. A parental coaching, I don't charge money for that. if they just want to vent, and a lot of them vent, okay? They are frustrated. They are just tired. They don't know where to get resources from, and sometimes they just want somebody to listen to them. So that's where the parental count coaching comes in. I just do it. I also last year got a community food bank. The community food bank is up and running. Blessed to have it because I don't pay any overhead fees. It's in the building where there's a health department. I just went and purchased food at the food bank where you get it at a low cost. And I just got a donor to be able to help to purchase some of the food. Mental Health Month community activities. We try to put this in our community because they need to understand the children that they're parenting. They traumatize just not being with their birth parent. So some of this behavior that they, well, some of this acting out that they think is behavior could be because of trauma. We also have parent grandparents appreciation. What I do is I specifically a partner with the state Navigator program. Last year we had a great one. They had more people last year than they've had before. We had over 70 grandparents, and we had no children. This was an appreciation for them. We also gave away in let's see, that was November for Thanksgiving. We had Lowe's to donate the buckets with food in there. My husband and I went all the way out there in what's the name of that? I can't even think of the name of the city, but it was a long ways out. We got those, brought them back, and distributed them to the families. And we had our third Christmas celebration where we give out toys to the children. We have increased that within the last 3 years. Until this year, we got to go to a larger place, and everything is free. And the parents really enjoyed it. This is just some information of that you all can look up or pass on, and be able to look about look up each one, teach one, and. If it wasn't for my husband, I don't know what I'd do. He's my rock, and he helps me out a lot because if I need him to go pick up one of the grandparents to work the food pantry, he'll do that for me. I still work from home, so I can't. My flexibility sometimes is not like that, so I really appreciate it. And again, our journey includes we adopted 10 children, raising our granddaughter, and we are looking for her to go to college. These are just some of the things we've done. Right here, some pictures. This was when we had the back to school here. I had an event last year. It's a company called Compadot. They was giving out laptops free. And these laptops, we had a STEAM program for the children. And the children, after they went through the program for a month, they get the laptops to take home. Here's one of the grandparents, a little girl. She's has a brain, severe brain damage, and she's the cutest thing in the world. This is our Santa Claus. We want to make sure we die, that we keep it within our culture, our race. And this was when we got together and we listened to when they was at this, when Generations United was at the Capitol, and they were advocating for some of the policy changes last year. This was when Lowe's came out and did the buckets. These are the toys. We get them from Toys for Tots. And this is me with some of the kids right here. This is when I was at the kinship celebration. And life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning how to dance in the rain. So that's what I tell my parents, is that we've taken on this responsibility. We're going to keep it up, and we're just going to support each other, and we're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving. Do you all have any questions? Oh, I did want to, let me see if I can pull that up. I don't know if I can. Let's see, share. Let's see here. No, it does not. Let's see. Oh no.
Do you have it on the computer? Do you have a window open of it on the
I got it
computer?
on the computer. I wanted to show you all the stats of California, how it shows how many grandparents.
Open it up in a window, and then you'll be able to see it once you push share screen, and then
Okay.
you could open you can open it up. Is the window open?
No. I need to go to.
Rashid,
Yes.
I text you Ernest McBride's number. When you get a chance, call him and see if you can navigate him and get on. He keep going to Conscious Corner.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
All right, you could take over Professor Rod while I do that.
All right.
Oh, I think this might be it right here. Let's see. Let's see here. Oh yeah, this is it. This is it. Can you all see it?
No, we can't.
Uh-oh. All right, so let me see. Can I share? Well,
Well, we could come back to it.
yeah. Well, all it says is in California, there are 1,152,548 children living in homes where relatives is the head of the household. It also says children being raised by kin with no parent present is 263,000. Children in foster care being raised by kin is 17,234. Okay, it went up. Let's see here.
If the window is open, when you push screen share, you would see the window and you click on it, and then you would share.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Share. Okay. It should come up now. You see it now?
Yeah, there it is. Yes.
All right. Wait just a second. Oh, but
I see it.
this particular, we have these in every state. The Generations United does a good statistical report on kinship in every state, and this is also California. As you can see, I read these three here, but it's a grandparents responsible for the grandchildren in California, 235,657. For every one child raised by kin in foster care, there are 14 being raised by kin outside of foster care. So what that means that 14 are they're not getting any type of financial assistance from the system. That means that the grandparents are having to use their funding or go into the community for resources to try to help them. And these are just some, and if you go to Generations United, you'll be able to put all of these grand facts up yourself. It shows here, these are some key programs in California that grant that kinship can be actually, here's Los Angeles County, the Alliance for Children Rights. They provide legal services and advocacy for children, Alliance for Relative Caregivers, and another location. You can get all of these. And there is a California Community College Foster and Kinship Care Education. California Department of Social Services, California Social Services. And one thing I would say, if you all know of any kinship parents that they know the kids are at risk of going into care, then what they need to know, there are laws out here to protect us. And I forgot to mention to you all that Joe Biden, our president, that good president that we once had, he before he left in January, on January the 4th of 2025, the Supporting Americans Children and Families Act, H.R. 9076, also referred to as the Protecting America's Children by Strengthening Families Act, was signed into law by President Joe Biden. So this particular law is on the Generations United website, but all that law says is that if children enter into the state custody, that the state is, it's a federal law, that they are to get the same benefits as foster parents. But they have to be in state custody. That goes for every state in the United States. And it may be some agencies that might try to say, you can't get it. And I tell them that's where the advocacy come in, is we have to advocate for it. Because otherwise, and that's why it's good to have someone there. I don't know what kind of kinship support groups or nonprofits that you all have, but that might be something you might want to pass on. I'm also working on the advisory board for the University of Southern California, Leonard Davis School of Gerontology. They're doing a research on caretaking, caretakers that are take care in different categories. Like some of them take care of their adult parents, some of them take care of their spouses, and I'm on there to represent kinship. And we're talking about the impact. Now, I don't know if we'll get any funding to be able to take this to another level or not, because it's different now. But that was the purpose before the new president got into the White House, was that we were supposed to be coming up with some thing, some how can I put it, some strategies to be able to show them the impact that is playing on caregivers. And it does. It's hard. We got a lot of baby boomers out here taking care of their parents, taking care of their relatives. Then we have our kinship families doing the same thing. It's like a repeat cycle, and it's keep getting worse and worse and worse. So what we're trying to do is get benefits where they won't get burned out, as quick. But if you have any problems finding this and you want me to send it to you, there are some more on here also. I could be glad to send it to you. And they have the state and federal benefits here from California, public benefits also. There's a lot on here for California. They even have some of the private agencies on here that families can go to and to get resources and things like that. And you can find this on Generations United website under Grand Facts. And once you get to that particular page, just click your state, because all the states are on there. Okay.
All right. First
Do I
of
have
all,
any?
want to thank you and your husband for doing such a fantastic, monumentous job in taking on this challenge of being resourceful for those grandparents and other caregivers that you have provided information for and and guidance and training and all the things that you do. That's a beautiful thing. It's well needed. It's well needed. Matter of fact, it should be funded nationwide in this day and age because of the all the reasons you say that people live with their grandparents and our other caregivers in foster homes and other those things. But Rashiki, are you ready or you want me to continue?
Continue. I'm still trying to get Ernest
Okay,
one.
then. Mshinda, are you there? Mshinda? Okay, he may be
Yes,
busy.
I'm here.
Okay, Mshinda, do you have any questions or things you want to raise?
No questions. Just welcome the guests. They appreciate, their hard work and their care for community and family. And I think we're all in that same space, trying to do what we can to make a difference. I'm a great uncle, raising a great nephew that's been with me for several years. He's getting ready to graduate next month from high school. And nothing's wrong with his mother. There's no jail, there's no drugs. We just wanted him to be in a better school district. So this area where I live is a better school district. And we got legal guardianship, so we're able to, advocate for him. And so we've been with him since he was in the third grade. And before, actually before that, but living with us. And but he goes home to his mom on weekends, and he's working. He's doing got straight A's this whole year, and doing well. And like I say, he was, he's with a, doesn't have a dad in his life, and that's part of it. where I stepped up and said, I'm gonna, take some responsibility in that. And but he's doing well. And but like I say, so we all have our war stories and experiences. And I just commend anybody in the space that show love and concern for each other. Thank you for coming tonight.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing too. And you brought up a great point because some of these birth parents are not on drugs. Joya's mom was not on drugs. She was just one of those parents that didn't could that didn't chose not to parent. And that's why we end up getting her. And she was supposed to have gotten her back, but she didn't. And she's doing good. She's doing good now. She still see a psychiatrist. She still go to counseling. She's playing volleyball, just finished Sister Act production at the school here. She's very intelligent, smart, and I just thank God for everything, that she's going through. And it wasn't easy either, especially going through the mental health part. It was not easy. And sometimes now it's just like we 70 in our 70s, you all. We had to get up at 5:30 on Saturday to take her to volleyball tournament. And then on Sunday, we had to get up at 6 o'clock and take her to the tournament. And I was like, oh my God, that's what made me say, we have to, just like you said, we have to do what we have to do, especially for our children. So I want to commend you and anybody else that go out here and try to save our children.
That's excellent, Mashinda, both of y'all. Sister Linda, you
Yes,
there?
I'm here. I'm here. I'm
You
here.
have any questions or issues that you want to raise in with regards to what's been talked about?
I know I don't have any questions, but because Suzette, and I'm so glad she came on tonight, and I've known her and her husband for over 15 years, because Suzette actually was my caseworker when I adopted Tierra, my daughter, over 15 years ago. And so they're advocates, but they not just talk, they walk everything. And even though when I got Zari at 12 days old, it was Suzette was the person that had to help me get her from everything and go through probate court and all this other stuff. And her husband been there. So they're just not talking the talk, they walk the walk. And I'm gonna let her finish because I can go on and on. And except I want to say with the Grand Voices, and she said it's in California too. And I just became a part of Grand Voices, which is they're advocates for you. You go to your legislators and talk to them to help to get the funding, what she's talking about in California, because I'm now working at the Trinity in Florida. And I want her to finish talking because she has much more information than I can.
Okay, soon we finish the question, she'll come back on. Brother He.
Tell you, Professor Rye and Rashi Key, you never cease to amaze me with the guests that you bring on here. It's just so mind expanding and it's moving. And I just, what kind of special people are you? I remember growing up and, my parents raising, I have a cousin, we were raised as brother and sister. I have an older cousin and other people in my family. I come from a large family. And you get a little older and you kind of realize the sacrifice that it takes for this. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this program because it's just you never stop growing. I never stop growing, listening and expanding my horizons, just listening to you people. I'm thankful for you.
Okay.
Professor Bob, can I say one thing? Brother Ahi, this is definitely a collective effort. And with your presence, it makes it even better. Sister Linda has been very responsible for me getting excellent guests on this show. And so it's a team effort. This is why it's community education, because we do this together. So I appreciate anybody that wants to be here and also contribute to the flow of this information that we have going. And it's just a tremendous thing. Professor Rod, and Brother Mashinda also, we're here together, and we doing our best to help the cause of making things better for not only Black people, for everybody. So thank you, Brother Ahi, for what you do. Okay, Professor Rye, you can keep going.
We appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. And again, I want to compliment her and her husband, Charles, for all the work that they do and taking on not only their raising grandchildren, but helping others raise theirs. That's a beautiful gift of heart and love for a critical issue and a critical concern. And seeing what's needed, and as he said, and Linda said, getting up and doing something about it. So that's the difference. To see something need to be done, and then do it with your own resources and your own ingenuity. I just have a few questions.
Professor Rupp,
Yeah.
before you ask her that, can we her husband tell us a little bit about what he does and
Of course.
yeah, okay. Charles?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Everything. How can I say this? Growing the things that Suzette is doing, the things that the people that both her and I together help out. The only thing I can think of is that a lot of this go way back when my father, I grew up here in Atlanta, and my father was doing the same thing back then, helping families out, helping kids out. My mother was doing the same thing back then, helping out families. It's one thing that my father, being a coach and stuff like that, he made sure that the kids had what they needed, whether or not they were able to get it or not. And when I met Suzette, and she is just, I mean, it's just so many words to say. She wanted to go back to school at 30, go to college at 30, and get her degree and in sociology, and helping, and she helps everybody out, whether or not they're out or not, phone calls day and night. And you'll be surprised at all the grandparents that will call and just need sometimes everyone's just somebody to talk to and let them know that they're not going through the same, thing by themselves or anything like that. So it's been real good, being able to just do these things. But it was just something that we learned from our parents growing up, and it's just like, it's just when they did, I watched them and tagged along with my dad everywhere he went. And if somebody had something that they needed or anything like that, he was the first to be there. So, and Suzette is the same way. So that's all we know how to do, from getting calls 5, 6 in the morning or late at night, there to help. So, and it's good that what we're doing now, I really enjoy it. I really enjoyed this, this situation, this program that we're doing now, and meeting you all, meeting you all. The only thing I can say is we're just gonna, all of us gonna stay on the battlefield. We're really gonna stay on the battlefield.
That's good. Thanks, Charles.
You're welcome.
Okay. Just a couple questions, either one of you can answer. There are many challenges, as for people raising children, even the biological parents in this day and age. Do you have any program that deal with what some people call a generation gap, whereas you're raising the kids the way you were raised, but you're in a different day and age? And do you address that issue?
Yes, sir.
It,
I've
it,
had, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's a big issue. That's a big issue. I had to do the same thing. I had to do the same thing. I could not raise the children we adopted, like I raised my biological daughter. And then when I got Joya, the 21st century baby, I can't raise her. So what I had to do was go back and re-educate myself on parenting skills. And I tell parents, I tell all the grandparents every day, you can't raise these children like you raise your children. You are asking for more stress. That's why it's important for them to come to support groups like we had before we came on here. But it's hard to get them to come out. It's hard to get them to come out. It's hard to get them to buy into learning, because if they buy into learning, they'll understand that a lot of the behaviors that children exhibit is because of trauma, and it's because of triggers from us. It could be because of triggers from us. Not all the time, but most of the time it's triggers from us. And yes, sir, that's huge. That's huge. That's
Yeah,
huge.
and the other issue is when you do you think, depending on the grandparent situation, because some of them are single grandparents raising, should they adopt for tax reasons and other and being able to be the designated person in case of emergencies and hospitalization and things, or should they just raise them?
Well, most of them have legal guardianship. And if you got legal guardianship, you can make the choices of them if they need surgery or whatever that it might be. I chose not to adopt my granddaughter because I'm her grandmother. That was just me. So I wanted her name to stay the same, and but we have legal guardianship, which means that legally we are bound to take care of her until she's 18. And most of these children that the grandparents have, these parents are not coming back to get them. They're not going to come back to get them because they don't want to parent. They're in another world, another state, doing something else.
Now, do you train them on how to, let's say that there's a daddy or a mama that's just abandoned the kids, or like you said, just don't want to be a parent. Do you deal with pursuing child support from them?
If they choose to, some of the grandparents say, I don't want to do that. They're really,
Even to the daddy?
well, the daddy is different because some of them don't, they may have multiple dads. So, and if they're in the state custody, then the state custody may go after the dad or even the mother. But if it's a case where the grandparent just took the kids before they went into custody, then it's up to that grandparent to pursue going to get the to the child support to get it. And most of them don't do it. They don't do it.
Well, and that's an issue
That's the issue.
because raising children are costly, and you want to be on the list so in case the parent that abandoned them, male or female,
Yes.
or gets you can get you qualify for their Social Security if they become disabled, you qualify for other services based upon their condition, because it's well, let me go into it. One of the things I taught parenting, and I say one of the most important things is to get in shape, physical shape, mental shape, and spiritual shape. It's hard to raise children if you're tired and if you don't take care of yourself. And things of this nature, because, like you say, you're getting up at 6 o'clock, and you and it's good you and your husband is able to, you're not, y'all look like you sound like you're in good shape, and so do is that a part of your curriculum of training, the importance of physical fitness, and because Some grandparents just think it's just about feeding them and clothing them and providing them a place to sleep, but they're not really involved in the kids' day-to-day activity. And what I mean is that in foster care, I'm really upset with foster care because there's no standards for measuring the effectiveness of the foster care. In other words, you got foster parents who have taken care of kids, and these kids didn't finish school. They didn't get, they didn't get no guidance, job training, or push for that. And they keep giving these foster parents kids, and they have no track record of being a good foster parent. And it seems like the state just say, "Hey, long as you can house them and get that money, you good till they're 18, and then they become the homeless." You know, so do you have an emphasis on that?
I have an emphasis on taking care of self first. I tell my grandparents that you're only as good as your children. So, in other words, if you don't take care of yourself, then you're not going to be able to take care of them. That's why this young lady is having three heart attacks. She's overweight. She's all of this. And I said, when you come out that hospital, you need to make sure that I help you find a program that you can go to. And that's one thing. And then there's another grandparent I had. She had a 14-year-old grandson. She was supposed to have been going to get her mammogram. And she decided that she was going to cancel her appointment to try to run after him. I told her, I said, listen, don't you ever do that again. I say, if he's running away, you just let him go wherever he's going, but you go get your mammogram, okay? Then when you come back, then you go looking for him. And after 24 hours, if you can't find him, just call the police and report him as a runaway. I said, but don't ever don't ever give up on yourself to sacrifice for him. I said, always go get your physicals. My husband and I, we get our physicals, we get everything. And for our age, I feel like we're in good shape. And that's one thing. When we had 10 kids, we did the same thing. We took care of our kids. And when it comes to you have to be a special person to be able to accept these children in your home when you were there in foster care. Out of all our 10 kids, we only had two sets of siblings. And I am so proud to sit here and say that every last one of them overcame their generational curses, including the first placement we ever had. She came from a family, her grandmother was an alcoholic, her mother was on drugs. And she came from a deprived family. She says all the time, those 6 years I was with you all, and we are nothing special, that those 6 years I was with you, mom and daddy, they made a big difference in my life because I told them they never had to be a product of where they came from if it was something negative. But one thing we have to realize is children will always love their family first. So with that being said, you can't talk ugly about them. You can't do all that. Here in Atlanta, we have a problem with black males finding mentors. I know you all have heard of 100 black men, right?
Yeah, I'm a member.
You remember? Well, I got something to say about the one here in Atlanta. The one here in Atlanta, I tried to get them to come and join, just to be a part of the organization, did a presentation, all that, and say, can we get some of our young black males into the organization? Because one of the, on our board, I didn't talk about our board, but on my board of directors, I have a psychologist, I have Christian Coleman's mother, I have my birth daughter, I have my youngest daughter that's the track runner, I have another young man that was adopted. I have my husband, and I have a young lady that has a nanny service. So I try to say to all of them that, we have to be able to provide those particular services that we need for our families. So everybody brings something to the table. But my children, I am so proud of them. All of them didn't go to college, but the ones that mental health is another Professor. Now, mental health is another issue
Of
that
course.
parents don't understand.
Yeah, and some of them, it's easy to sometimes make kids behave, but it's hard to change their attitude. You can make them wash dishes, but you can't make them like it. And so it's a challenge. But what I'm asking you is, you have some of the top black colleges. And I don't know if they're working with you or if you reached out to them to maybe give students credit to assist or help with parents and things of this nature through their childhood education programs or their teaching programs. I did that at Long Beach State. I required the students to get in the community and required them to tutor kids, but at the same time, you're overwhelmed and you don't have a staff. It's just you and your husband for so far, and you're not funded, so it's very difficult to find the time because you got to raise the kids and you got to give that love and time with them. But at the same time, when you dealing with and this is a question that when you're dealing with youth, as you said, they're sort of rebellious, because they're angry that they have to be there, or they just they say, "You ain't my mama, even though you're the grandmama," they get a certain age, and you can win them over with constant love, with some of them you can't. I mean, they just they're not gonna get good grades, even though you give them all the help. They just think they know everything, and then you try to teach them, the streets. You don't want the streets to change you. So you put that supervision on them, like, "Hey, who you hanging out with? I want to know who you're talking to," and things of this nature. And many of them feel that it's overbearing, many young people with grandparents, because I got 14 grandkids and one great grandbaby, and just dealing with the attitudes of some of them, you understand? I mean, they don't trip too hard because I'm too big. I'm 6'5" and 200 some pounds, so they don't challenge. But at the same time, you can give them advice and you can try to guide them toward either getting a vocational skill or going to college. And but at the same time, they don't see that. They don't see that vision. So and my question to you is, I mean, what is the, because see, when you, sometimes people take over the kids at different ages. I mean, the parents can get killed in a car accident. You got some teenagers all of a sudden, and then you got some adolescents that's from 12 to 15 or 12 to 10 to 13 or something, just and all those type of thing, and they set in their ways, and so how do you cope with the different, I mean, because for each child there's a different reason why they're dealing with it, and each of them have different attitudes about where they are. You may have one love it, you have another one hostile. How do you and your husband juggle that with parents who come to you with those issues?
I am therapy, therapy, therapy. That's what I believe in, because all my kids, even the ones, and I work part time for this organization where we do post-adoption services for adopted parents, and I tell them you need to be proactive and not reactive. You need to understand you get a baby and a baby, but children go through developmental stages. And when they hit that developmental stage, see, that's what re-educating ourselves would teach us, that when they reach a certain age, teenagers, that's the way they're supposed to act, because it's a negative and a positive in the developmental stages. So, but we have to know how, we have to know what to do. So what you do is you get a family therapist, and I am culturally focused that my one African American son went to an African American therapist. My girls went to African American female therapists, because I feel like our children feel more comfortable and will open up. And that's the same thing with Joya. She has an African American psychiatrist and she has an African American therapist. You need to, we have to, and not only will the therapist, we don't need to just treat the children, we need to treat the family. Because everybody suffers with all them attitudes and that loss that the kids are feeling from their parents and all of that. So what we want to do is we want to cuddle around them, but we also, we have family therapy now. Joya has her therapy. I have therapy, and then we have family therapy. And I just wish that some of these grandparents would do that. And I encourage it. I mean, I have the resources. They call me, I will tell them the psychiatrist to go to, the male therapist to go to, Dr. Reese, all of them. But that really helps. Because one thing about trauma is trauma goes nowhere. It has to be treated. And that's what our African American family needs to understand. You can't go and pray out that particular situation. We can pray about it, yes, but it's not going to get it out. You have to go to someone that understands and be able to teach us that once they leave that therapist, there are some triggers that we may need to back off. You know, I've had to back off a lot of times. I take time outs with my granddaughter myself, because you'll never win a power struggle with a kid. Okay? They're always, so when you sit there and talk, they, like you say, they're gonna go tit for tat, tit for tat. You say it's red, they're gonna say it's black. You say this and they're gonna say it's that. So you know, I don't do that. What I do is I just like, okay, so I go to my room. You know, and then she'll come back later. And it's all about learning new skills and techniques. And a therapist can help us to do that. And the kids are on insurance, so it's no excuse. There's no excuse except the effort from the parents to be able to go and get this done. And that's what I try to encourage my families to do. And even if they don't have transportation, there is a number on the back of that Medicaid card that you can call for transportation. So I teach them that too.
Okay, Professor Brown, I have a question. Okay, Miss Brown, I heard a stat earlier. You said something about a 23-year-old. Was you referring to a 23-year-old grandparent? 23 years old, a grandparent.
A grandparent.
Is that an adoptive grandparent?
No.
My goodness. How can a 23-year-old be a grandparent?
She had a child. I don't
She had
know
a
what
child at
age.
what, about 12?
About 12. Yeah.
And then her 12-year-old had a child.
Her 12-year-old had a child.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but
I
it
th
could
I
have been
thought
incest. It could have been incest. It could have been a
Yeah.
stepfather or a cousin or uncle, the
Yeah.
wrong
Well,
person that gave her the baby.
I just wanted to make sure what I heard was true. Okay, thanks.
It's rare to have them that young, but we do have some that are young. I say the average kinship parent that we have here probably are about 35, probably 40. But then we have the ones that are my age. I think I sometimes I think I'm the oldest one, because when I ask them how old they are, nobody ever say I'm 74, I'm 72 or whatever. I'm always the oldest one. And then they like, what? I can't believe that, you know, and that type of thing. But yeah, it is. And it's hard. It's hard. And I just want them to just know that we have to re-educate ourselves. If and I love trainings. I love trainings. I love learning. And that's what you see back there, the power of learning. That's what Each One Teach One Together is all about. I learned from you all here tonight. And then the power of learning is to be able to learn. We learn from each other. And you said something, Dr. Ra, that Professor Ra, that I'm gonna do. I'm going over to Morehouse, I'm going over to Spelman, I'm going over to Clark. I ain't scared of nobody now. I'm going over to Clark and I'm going over to Morris Brown and I'm going to all those Dr. I don't know if you all have heard of Dr. Leroy Reese, but he spends a lot of time in California. I don't know what he'd be doing, but he does a lot of work there. But he is a professor over there also. So I want to go over and
What's the
get some
name? What's the name
info.
again?
Leroy Reese. Dr. Reese. I'm gonna go over there and I want to talk to some of those youth, those young people, and ask them to do volunteer work for Each One Teach One. Great idea. Go over there and also get some of those social workers, those ones that are gonna be social workers to come and be able to help out. Some of those are gonna be school teachers to do tutoring, and some of those young men at Morehouse that can come and really be mentors to these young boys. Because I was about to say, but I didn't finish my conversation about 100 black men here, but they never showed up. And they're very selective about who is in that program. They don't want kids like some of the kids that come from the grandparents that are having struggles and having challenges, been traumatized and all that. Because you know they're going to have an
Yeah,
attitude.
they bougie. What you're saying is they bougie, and they working with kids about stocks and all that type of stuff, and most of them be their own kids. They, you know,
Right about
I
that.
know, I know them, I know them. But then there's some of them that are real good and real serious. They have mentorship programs in California, and they give awards, scholarships, and things of that nature. But they don't look, they're not looking for the problem child or the child with a bunch of issues. They're looking for, they're looking for somebody that can say is a success story that they can put a feather in.
Exactly right.
And even though the kid was already doing good, they're gonna take credit for it.
Right. Right.
That happens
He
all.
exactly right. He exactly
Watch
right.
out, Professor Rye.
He sees exactly right. He's exactly right. Now, Jacob is on my board and he went through a program with 100 black men, but even though Jacob was adopted, Jacob didn't have all of those challenges like some of the children from the grandparents. So I told Jacob, I'm through with them. I'm through. He told me, you want me to go? Auntie, he called me Auntie. I said, no, don't go messing with them. I don't want to be bothered with them. I said, I would just like they bougie. No, I don't want to be bothered with them. I'm going over there to the young men at Morehouse and the young women over there at Spelman and all those other colleges. That's a great idea. Soon as I get through with all this business, I'm gonna get my briefcase and go over there and I'm gonna start recruiting. That's a great idea.
I would suggest that you try to talk to the chairperson of that department.
Okay.
And ask them for guidance. Tell them what your project is, what you're trying to do. And they're probably going to say, well, you can talk to teachers that want to get their kids involved and give them credit. I did that on my own when I was at Long Beach State. I didn't go through administration or anything. I just knew that there was a need for tutoring in the community. And so we did it from 2000, from 19. 79 all the way up to 2004, and it was a lot. It was very crowded, very good, and
Well, do you suggest you go to the BSU and maybe with a waiver, as long as they have signed a waiver?
well, you have a Black Student Union, but what the thing is, you want to get students that's majoring in those type of things. Like early childhood education majors and teachers,
Special education.
special ed and all of that, that you can they can get credit in a class for participating. You know, you got to get the teacher to work with you, because you got to keep up with all the data. Sign in, sign out, let them know. And see, what I did is have them write a report at the end, their experience in working with the kids. But see, it's not long. And there's community colleges you can go to, but it's not long because the colleges are transits. You know, 4 years or 6 years, you're gone. And, you're going back home. Most, you got a lot of kids from different states, especially at the Black independent colleges. You know, and it's expensive, and a lot of them work to pay their way. So, you have to work with teachers that have students that maybe live in the area and just want to do something good. Atlanta used to be known for its churches, and you got Reverend Bryant, Jamal Bryant out
Oh,
there,
yeah, he's still doing it.
a mega teacher, and that's a good source of some of your mega teacher churches. You'd be surprised. Some of them will work with you, but like you said, it's just hard to get people to love. See, you love what you're doing, you enjoy what you're doing, and some people look at it as I'm just doing it for this or doing it for that, and it's very challenging.
And another thing is extracurricular activities. Those children need to be involved in extracurricular activities. If they were involved in extracurricular activities, some of that behavior would subside and also give them something to do. They need to do more than just sit there on those video games and telephones and all like that. They need a structured life. And that's what I want to try to help the families to do is to get the funding so at least they can get the extracurricular activities in the school system and to be able to work with the school system to see if they can do waivers for them. So I am working on that part because the kids need to get involved. That's what helped Joy with her anxiety, her depression, is to get involved into that. And then after that, she wanted to sing and she wanted to be in theater. She wanted to, what else she does, Charles? I don't know.
She's in the
Oh, she's a
ROTC.
junior
She's a
ROTC.
captain. She's a captain in the
You always
ROTC.
say that's your cat.
She is. I mean, that's you'll be surprised. She went up the ladder. I saw I see all the little medals and stuff on it. So, yeah, doing well.
I have another question. Something that Professor Roth thought made me think of. What about the Black clergy? Have you all gone to the Black Ministerials Alliance? Because they have that in Atlanta.
I haven't. I tell you about them fell out with the Black Church too. They're another group. When I was looking for a support group to have my meetings, and I went to Cascade United Methodist Church, even my own church, Jasper Williams. I just felt like, those churches, if you go there with an idea or you go there with something, I don't know. I haven't even asked him that, but if I go there and I ask for that to use their space in the mega church, they may not be
No, but I was
open.
talking about
So
the Black Ministerial Alliance. They all meet together once a month. And
they
they
still,
get speakers coming there all the time.
where they meet at now, because they used to meet at Pascal's.
I'll
Where
let
they
you know
did.
tomorrow. I'll find out, but I'll let you know tomorrow.
Yeah, because I know they used to, when Pascal's was right there on ML King, they used to meet there all the time. Charles' mama used to go there all the time. But I don't know where they meet at now. But I did find a church right over here in my community, a small church, where the gentleman said, "You just been going to the wrong people, Sister Brown." So he opened his door and said, "You can come in here and have support group meetings. Or you can come in here and you can do that." He's looking forward to it. So that's I'm gonna go that route. But I love the idea of going to the colleges because I really feel that that would be really great. That's gonna be my first thing I start working on.
Well, okay. Well, I commend you and your husband for doing what you're doing, and It seemed like it could only get better, you know, with the networking, especially when you go to that college. Hopefully, that college will provide some assistance, and you know, that would be a real good thing. So, is there anything you want to leave us with this evening before we take our pause?
First of all, I want to thank you all for having me on. I want to thank you all for all the work that you do. I sent everything out in mass mail, over 200 people, about your podcast. I will continue doing that and to support you with that. And I will also be attending myself because I love getting involved. But I just want to thank you for all that you all do. And just to say, keep us in your prayers. And thank you for everything. Appreciate it.
You are welcome.
And I want Dr. Rod to go and drink some water, take some medicine, or do some natural herbs and get yourself well now.
But I'm on dialysis, so
Yeah.
I had it today, so I just
Oh,
went
that's
today.
what it is. Okay, so you
Yeah.
need rest then. You need to go
I
get some
get
rest.
it, I get it, but it still don't do no
It doesn't do any
good.
good. Okay. All right.
But
Well, you.
really, this show, I come on sometimes even when I'm not feeling good, but we try to encourage you that if you want to come on again and you come up with some issues that you want to bring forward, because this is going to be on YouTube, you can recommend your friends who didn't get it to go to Community Education Network and they can scroll down and watch your interview here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I sure will. Well, you
Okay.
all take care. God bless. And just thank you for everything that you're doing. If I make it to California, I'll let you know.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
So,
Thank you so
Professor
much.
Roth,
Yeah.
who do we have on Tuesday?
Bobby Johnson, Robert Johnson, he's going to be talking about, making it good in the hood, with Compton. They always give it a bad name. And he wrote the book, The History of Compton, and he's written it, and he's doing a lot with youth also at Cal State Dominguez. So, and he's part of that Compton Historical Society. So he'll be on this coming Tuesday.
Okay, so we got on next Wednesday, Brother Thomas is coming on, one of our team members, and his topic will be divine femininity, her superpower, masculinity, her kryptonite. So, Brother Thomas is always coming with something very interesting. I
Okay,
can't
well,
wait to hear
you'll
that.
definitely see
Boy.
me again. You'll definitely see me again.
Okay.
Thank
Well,
you so much.
thank you.
If ever you want
Thank
to know
you.
what's going on, you just go to the website and it'll be right on the home page. And if
I
it's not
got you
a
now. I got you
dark,
now.
it'll be on there Saturday or Sunday, but
Okay.
sometimes it'd be on there earlier than that.
Okay. Awesome.
So we're going to take our pause. Thank you, everyone, for this evening. We're going to take our pause, each one teach one, in Conscious Corner.
Hey, Rashki,
Yes.
the brother that's at the University of Atlanta, we've been having the show that we shoot back. What's his name?
Talking about Dr. Charles
No,
Alexander?
not Charles. Charles is in Chicago. I'm talking about the brother that's in Atlanta. We had him on the show. He went to Compton High, and he was a chair of Black Studies at the University of Atlanta.
I don't recall who that is, Professor Rob.
Well, anyway, if I get the name and stuff, I you know him. Because we had him on there. Remember, he had the book, We Shoot Back.
Oh, Brother Emoja? I mean,
Yeah, Umoja.
yeah, that's yeah. Well, I guess we can put Suzanne in touch
No,
with
I
him.
wanted to, if she tried to contact him.
Yeah.
Because, he had a group out here called the New African People
Yeah, that's
organization when he was
isn't
out
that
here.
Barry? That's Barry's good friend, right?
No. No, he was Joe. He was
Oh,
Joe
Joe
Henry.
Henry.
Yeah.
So we could try to link them together.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to. Moja, I can't remember his last name. But if we get it, we'll get it to you through Linda or somebody.
Okay, I appreciate that. That sounds great.
Yeah,
That
you
sounds
need
great.
a contact person, you know, and he knows, and even Reggie, Linda's brother, Reggie Muhammad,
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right.
he's a good contact person
Oh,
to
yes.
get, and he taught at Spelman.
At
So
Clark Atlanta. Yeah, he's at Clark Atlanta.
he talked to Atlanta,
Oh,
you
okay.
know, so you need these people. You need people that can, if they can't do something, they can recommend who you talk to. They know the system out there.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'll do just that. Thank you all again and enjoy your week.
All right, you
Thank
too.
you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Right. I'll take our calls.
Okay,
Okay.
now take care.